God comes to us through particular people, in particular places, and in times in the past and here and now. Our second candle reminds us to look for the light of God in God's messengers today. Living Christ, give us faith to trust you and hope to follow you. Continue with the readings.
A reading from Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of the Lord. We will read the Psalms responsively. Congregation will read the bold print. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. A reading from Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in this day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius,
when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilus. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been told something that you found unbelievable? Have you been promised something that was a long time coming, and when that promise was going to be fulfilled, you've been waiting for so long that you simply cannot believe that it would not only be possible that it's happening, but that it's finally happening? Imagine such a promise made to you, unfolding before your very eyes, unfolding in your life, and unfolding in the world. Our psalm for today is sung by Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah was an old priest who was childless, and his wife Elizabeth is related to Mary, the mother of our Lord. When doing his priestly duties, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and told him that he and Elizabeth would finally have a child. Their prayers had been answered. And Gabriel tells him that this child will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and that he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Because Zechariah and Elizabeth are now older in age, he does not see how this could be possible. And it's because of his skepticism that he's unable to speak until his child is born. Now, this is all in Luke chapter 1. You fast forward to John being born. It's the eighth day after his birth. He's about to be circumcised, and he needs to be given a name. And Elizabeth says the child's name is going to be John. And I've heard, you know, in hearing from people when expecting a child, one of the things they say they don't do is, some don't do, is tell people what they're thinking about names, because people have an opinion, right? Well, that's a good name, that's a bad name. Well, Elizabeth says it's going to be John, and relatives like, how can you name him John, right? Nobody in the family is named John. Name him Zechariah. And then they ask Zechariah, and he writes on a tablet, his name is John. And then he's able to speak. And so the verse preceding our psalm for today, in chapter 1, verse 67, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. So the image of Zechariah singing this song to the infant John the Baptist speaks of the hope of those promises God has made to God's people, and the fulfillment of those promises in the present, and also the hope that we have in those promises in the future being fulfilled. What Zechariah is experiencing is not just the promise that he and Elizabeth would indeed have a child, but a promise made to their people. A promise that would also be made to all nations. In many ways, we are always an Advent people, because we sit in the paradox of waiting for the light that's already come. We bear witness to that light that has already come, and yet also point to a light that has yet to come. The song of Zechariah is a song that I believe we should be singing often. And if you engage in the service of morning prayer that's in the hymnal, you could have the opportunity to sing this song, which is also called the Benedictus, on a daily basis. And there are Christians around the world that do so. Because the song, as I said, really speaks to who we are as a people. It speaks to who we are and where we are in God's kingdom, as God's kingdom being already, but not yet. We see the light of dawn, and yet there's still darkness around us. My children get the bus to school. The first one gets on at like 10 after 6. The other ones get on around like 6:45, and so it's still dark out. But by the time the oldest ones are getting on, the dawn is coming. We see the light, but there's still darkness around. That's where we're at, right? We see the light, and we can point to it. In the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. But we still live in a world that is covered with that darkness. And as an Advent people, we are waiting for that light to completely break through, but we also point to that light that has broken through in this world. This psalm is also a praise song. Zechariah is giving praise to God for God's promises. But it's not just about Zechariah and God. Sometimes in our culture, I think when I think of praise music, it can turn into really just like a me and God or me and Jesus kind of devotion. But it's not. For Zechariah, it's communal. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us, that we would be saved from our enemies, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And then it's not just exclusively communal. It contains an invitation to engage all people in the world, not just about me and God or just exclusively a we of God, but to take God's word of promise and reconciling love and share that future hope that we have with our God that is with us, that is Emmanuel. See, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John the Baptist, they're you and me. Because we've experienced unbelievable promises being fulfilled. We have been left speechless in how God can surprise us. And this God works in us and through us as God worked through Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John. Are we to be silent with the good news that we've received? Are we to be silent in the ways God has surprised us in our lives? Are we to let people sit in the darkness when the dawn from on high is here? Or are we to point to that light that is upon us and breaking through into the world? I never tire of pointing out how this song should be sung to our children as it was sung to that infant John the Baptist, in calling them to this life of pointing people to the way of Jesus. Just that image of Zechariah holding John and saying to him, as we could say to our own children as they grow in years, "And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins." What a formation in faith to equip our youth, our children, with good news to share. Not gloom and doom, not fear, not turn or burn, but good news that the God that we know, the dawn from on high that breaks upon us, is a God of love, is a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness. Most certainly a praise song, but I believe one that is different than we might be accustomed to. It's not just about me as an individual, it's not about just us as a community of faith, but about a world that God cares about and calls us to be engaged in. We have most certainly been told something unbelievable in our lives coming to fulfillment. We have been promised from our God, been made promises from our God who keeps those promises. And we may find ourselves like Zechariah, living in spaces of disbelief and belief at the same time. That's a life of faith, I believe. The tension between disbelief and belief, yet we still get glimpses of the dawn from on high breaking upon us. See, you don't really need to imagine such a promise being made to you. You don't need to imagine a promise unfolding before your very, very eyes in your life and in the world. Because Zechariah's song is a song for the whole church. And while I just said that I believe this song would be great to be singing from to our children from when they're born to when they grow, it's a song for all of us because we're most certainly all God's children. You are all beloved children of God, and it's through the waters of holy baptism that such a promise has been made to you. And when you look in the mirror, I pray that you see the child of God that is before you. That those amazing promises made to you at baptism are unfolding before your very eyes. That God is with you now and promises never to let you go. And then sends you into the world to show God's people, to show all people, the way of peace. It is in our sinfulness and brokenness and in our inability at times to comprehend or trust God's promises or presence that it's easy, so easy, to sit in darkness. And then we find ourselves muted and unable to speak. But filled with the Holy Spirit, we can sing like Zechariah. We can sing praises to our God and cling to those promises and that new reality that we know in Jesus Christ in word and deed, that even our actions would speak just as loud, if not louder, than our words. May all of God's children, young and old, throughout the world, may all of us gathered here today give praise to God like Zechariah. Sing that song of hope and promise to one another and point all people to Christ like John the Baptist. And we may feel helpless and speechless in our world today. The darkness at times does feel to overcome us at times. We could list many concrete examples, but just in this past week, that horrific tragedy in Oxford, Michigan, at that high school where there was a shooting and lives lost and people injured and others traumatized. Our leaders seem to shout problems with few solutions into a void, leaving us at times even more hopeless and speechless. But you do not need to imagine what God's promises look like, because you know them. You don't need to imagine God's love and promise unfolding before your very eyes, because you see it. You see it in the life, and you still see it in the world, even when darkness and tragedy strikes. Because as the world sits in darkness, we know the dawn from on high is here. So let us sing of God's presence. Let us share the love of Jesus where the darkness tries to overcome that dawning light breaking through. The promise God made to you is unfolding before your very eyes, in your life and in the world. And we tend to think big, I think. In order for the world to be transformed, we have to do big things. But it happens with one relationship at a time. It happens with those interactions that we have with people that intersect our paths on a daily basis. That we would go out in the world, go about our everyday business and vocation that God has called us to speak of a God and reflect the love of our God who comes to us in tender mercy, who by the light of Christ overcomes death and darkness and guides us all into the way of peace. The more we point to the way of peace, the more this world sees, hears, and engages that promise that is unfolding before our very eyes. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Blessed be the God of Israel.